Ginger Lerner Wren thought she knew what she was getting into. In 1996, she ran as a candidate for judgeship in Broward County, Florida. After being elected, she thought she knew what she was getting into, being a judge in the criminal division. What she didn't know is that 6 months into her tenure, she would be asked to take on an additional part-time role of presiding over the first mental health court in the United States. One of the reasons this court was created is studies showing that 1 in 6 inmates has a diagnosable mental illness. Many of these inmates could have potentially found a different path other than prison if mental health courts were more widely available. They don't work for everyone, they're not appropriate for all crimes, but they are much more widely applicable than is currently in use. And part of what fascinates me about Judge Lerner Wren's perspective is that for more than 2 decades, she's had extensive experience as a judge, both in the traditional criminal court system and in this much newer experiment in therapeutic jurisprudence. So really every day she's been doing both of those things. And here at the outset, allow me to be clear that I don't want to unfairly paint traditional criminal courts with too broad a brush as only concerned with punishing criminals. I think there are many well-intended people who are part of various aspects, of course, of the criminal court system. At the same time, I do want to highlight the difference it can make to cultivate a therapeutic approach that prioritizes attempts to be helpful, healing, even curative of defendants. It's also important to emphasize that the mental health court continues to balance attempts to help defendants with the needs to protect the public. But a profound reorientation can take place for all concerned when focus shifts from short-term punishment. You know, what was the crime? What's the punishment? We just need to retaliate. To long-term wellness. In the judge's words, for the first time in the United States, a specialized problem-solving court was dedicated to the decriminalization of people with mental health problems when appropriate, and to use the court process to link individuals with community-based mental health care from a recovery-oriented perspective. And looking back over the past 20 years, Judge Lerner Wren has collected some of her most moving and memorable stories in a book titled A Court of Refuge. It was published last year by the UUA's own Beacon Press. You can certainly read that book if you want to see many of the stories she's collected. And reading these accounts, there were multiple times when I could understand, you hearing some of what had happened, the traditional impulse to just ascertain if a person is guilty of one or more crimes, and then what punishment might best fit it. But through the therapeutic process, you begin to see this messy, complicated, many-layered humanity of everyone. It quickly became evident. Have any of you read the book Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson? I know quite a few of you had or maybe seen him speak. If you ever get a chance to see him speak, please do. But one of the real pull quotes from that book is that all of us are more than the worst thing we've ever done, right? All of us are more than the worst thing we've ever done. And as people's stories and backgrounds emerge, I could almost hear people thinking about a person they had perceived as just a criminal. I could almost hear them thinking, oh, great, now I have to care about this person as a human being, right? How inconvenient. No. That kind of shift, in all seriousness, begins to get to the heart of the matter. Everything changes if you begin to experience a person as a human being, a complex, messy human being like yourself, with hopes and dreams, with trauma as well as triumphs, as opposed to seeing someone just as an object, as a criminal, as an inmate, as a number. Let me tell you a bit more about what that looks like in practice. The difference starts with little things like the tone set to begin a court session. I suspect most of us can imagine that classic bailiff pronouncement. All rise. The court of Broward County is in session. The Honorable Ginger Lerner Wren presiding. Then everyone remains standing as the judge enters and is seated. In contrast, Judge Lerner Wren took to saying herself, everyone's seated. She would just say, "Welcome to mental health court." In her words, that informality became important. That phrase, "welcome to mental health court," it helped set the tone for a courtroom culture where human dignity, therapeutic justice, and the rule of law were all important, all coexisted. And instead of the typically adversarial court proceeding focused on ascertaining guilt or innocence related to a specific charge, she found it helpful to begin exploring, what's the context here? What's the history? How did we get to this point? And she would begin with just basic questions. Instead of, you know, where were you on Tuesday the 30th, you know, at 2 p.m., she would start with, what did you want to be when you were young? What were your dreams? Did you go to school? What are your strengths? What do you do well? What's your vision for your life? She was interested to discover over the years through such open dialogues and courts that most of the people who were referred to her mental health court were high school graduates. They had attended or graduated from college and were working or had worked prior to their illness becoming exacerbated. These crucial pieces of people's stories helped her collaborate with them to discern potential ways forward that might otherwise have been missed. Much work, of course, remains to be done to make restorative justice, problem-solving, and person-centered approaches more commonplace, but there are some reasons for hope. More than two decades ago, in 1997, when Judge Lerner Wren was helping guide this first mental health court of the United States, she was the only one. Fast forward to 2012, which is the latest accounting I've seen, and according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, there are 3,052 total problem-solving courts in the U.S. The most common type of problem-solving courts are drug courts. They're 44% of the 3,000. Mental health courts are 11% of the 3,000. So that means there are at least 334 other mental health courts across this country, and hopefully more to come. But mental health courts and humane approaches to mental health in general, that's only one example of the larger movement that we need in this country to bring our society more in line with what our UU First Principle, as well as the UN Declaration of Human Rights, calls the inherent worth and dignity of every person, right, without exception. In Judge Lerner Wren's words, the rejection of stigma in favor of dignity is the essence of social justice. The rejection of stigma in favor of dignity is the essence of social justice. And so the question becomes for each of us, what can I do? What can you do? What can we do within our different and various spheres of influence? We all have different places where we have power that we can leverage to create change. What can each of us do to create a world in which each human being can live a life of dignity?